Good afternoon, good evening, good metal. My name's Coop and welcome to the Spoken Metal Show. This episode, we get into it with our old friends in Hogan. It's nice to have Andy Lewis back on the show. Well, returning for Andy, but new for Lewis to come on the show and chat kind of everything Hogan. What a journey they've had. They've been kind of parallel to what I've been doing in the podcast and on Metal on Merseyside. And it's just, it's wonderful that there is a band that can kind of show a journey of where they've come from, where they're going to, and kind of help inspire other bands to people, or people to start bands, or people to continue doing the great work that they've done. And Hogan really are that great example. Just, you know, just a great bunch of guys doing some great stuff, and they've got a new album coming out of it, and given the great pleasure of being sent advances of that album, and it's fucking brilliant. I mean, we'll get into it, and obviously we'll do shows probably closer, and probably a track by track as we talk about on the episode of going through that album. And just as a sidebar to that, I get sent an enormous amount of music that people like me to review, and they'd like me to kind of, you know, talk about its stuff and give my thoughts on it, what have you. Which I'm incredibly grateful that happens, but this podcast isn't really a review. I don't really talk review albums and review artists, because that opens up to the possibility that it would be me saying something negative. And I just really don't do that anymore. I used to review music a lot and write a lot of reviews for a lot of periodicals and stuff. And I just don't really want to do that anymore. I want to talk about the things I love. But if you are in a band or you are an artist, and instead of, you know, me reviewing your album or your single or whatever, just come on the show. Just we'll figure it out, get you on the show, and we'll talk about it. And that's much more valuable to me. And I think that you, the listeners, enjoy that a lot more. I've had some really nice comments. I was at a show last night, and some people said that when they were listening to the show, they just listened because now they trust that I'm going to be talking to someone interesting, which is a wonderful thing to happen. You know, it's that they trust me to pick someone interesting to talk to. I've got some great shows coming up. This one is one of them. The next show after this is excellent. There's some really, really good shows coming up of people that I just enjoy talking to, and I'm really seeing that in the scene now, and I'm really seeing that when I go to shows. Spot of business here. I am still the merch is still available for the Spoken Metal Show, where you can get your There's No Scene in Liverpool shirt and then get it numbered by me when you see me in person at a show. They're still available. That's a fucking great thing to, that's very, so cool. I think to number someone's shirt at a show is fucking really, really cool. So, you know, they're still available. Please check them out. I've got a host of guests coming up. This is the start of quite a few now. I'm going to try and get in fairly quick succession, so hopefully you'll sort of more episodes a little bit more often. And this show is obviously Hogan based. They have a much in more in the future. On the 7th of June, they have the single launch at the Outpost. We'll get into that with the Devil's Henchmen. But more closer, on the 5th, they are supporting Napoleon Rising, who hopefully I'll get on the show at some point as well. Really want to talk to them. But it's their EP launch of Prepare for War at Molly's Chambers in Birkenhead, which is great. Over this side of the water, I'll be going to that. That looks absolutely fantastic. And that's a great bill, with Exhumation as well supporting. You know, there's this wonderful thing of bands sharing headliners and sharing supports and openers and stuff. And it's been absolutely superb to see. And so there's a lot of love here for Hogan, and the album itself, I can't wait for you guys to hear it and tell me what you think, because I think it's pretty special, and it's a special journey. So it's nice to sit down and have a conversation with Andy Lewis from Hogan. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a return guest and a new person to the show, but it's a band that I've talked about a lot. So none of you are going to be surprised when I don't announce the next guest. No one will be like, who the fuck are they? You'll know because you've been listening to the album. You'll know because you've been following the scene and you understand how fucking important these guys are. Ladies and gentlemen, it's only Hogan. How are we doing, lads? All right?
Sounds good. Yeah. Thank you.
So I've got... We all know Andy. We all know and love Andy. You know what I mean? He's the guy on the scene that's at every fucking show. We don't necessarily know Lewis, but I do. You guys maybe don't. But it's nice to welcome Lewis to the show. Welcome, sir.
Thank you kindly, mate. Nice
and
to
welcome
be
to Ogun. Welcome to the world of, in inverted commas, of hate, Ogun. You know, welcome to their world. What's that like, joining a band that's fucking currently smashing it and continuing to?
No, it's great, man. Like, everyone in the band's been, like, you know, just absolutely on it. And they've just given me, like, a warm welcome into the band, like, made it super easy, like, and seamless just to integrate and, you know, allow me to do my own thing. But, like, you know, obviously I don't want to step on any toes of anything that's already there, you know?
Yeah. What was your first show with them? Was it the Conan one?
The Metal to the Masses, basis last year.
So
at Zanzibar, and then there was a show after that, and then on since I joined, it was the Killing Over.
Which was a fucking great show, that. I mean, look, I was at that show, and I remember saying to you, you know, cards on the table, let's be honest, you were a little nervous because you wanted to be good, you know, that's fine, and people want that, you know. I don't want my bassist who joins a band to be like, well, I'll fucking smash this is not a problem. I don't want that. I want that nervousness because it means you give a fuck, it means you care. Now, you know, we had Joe on the show, the previous bassist. You're not, Joe does his thing and you do your thing. You've very much got a whole different style, and that's cool too. You know what I mean? I won't speak for Joe, but I'm sure he's fucking elated that there's another bassist of your talents playing in a great band, you know. So there's some first couple of shows. Takes a while to get your eye in.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Thank you, by the way. And it's just, again, the guys have made it seamless. So, like, more credit to the guys in Ogun already. And the nerves and that, I think just it's the kind of pressure I put on myself. And, you know, just my own, everyone's their own worst critic, aren't they? But it's just been great, man.
It switches though, because I noticed it in your performance that you kind of relaxed and kind of, okay, I can play this thing. I can play these things. And that's the first concern. Can I play these things? And you know you can, but you think, can I play these things? That's it. Then you have, can I remember these things? And you can, and that's fine. And you're at that wonderful stage now where it's like, I just want to get the chemistry going now. Because you're a different person. So it's like, okay, let's see what the chemistry is like now. There'll be different avenues. There'll be different vibes on stage, different fields entirely. And it's just been, you know, it's just been wonderful to see that little journey for you, you know, and see you kind of blooming. Because I think that, you know, as you become more comfortable, it just feeds back into the plane and just circular.
Yeah, definitely. Like, getting into like the kind of, the vibe, for lack of a better term, like, you know, playing live is like, you know, playing in a rehearsal room is one thing, but like playing shows is completely different, as we all know. And because the guys are so on it, like, it's just, it's been sound. I like, and as well, I've played like played shows with Danny, especially. I mean, we go back to high school, us two, and we've been in bands for a number of years together prior to Ogun and prior to me joining Ogun, I mean. And so there's that familiarity, that rhythm connection, if you will. And that also has definitely helped, I think.
Yeah, it's nice, and it's nice. What a great time to join the band as well. Because, and I'll just want to pass over to Andy a sec here, is that I'm going to say this once and then I'm going to put it to bed and then it's done and it's out the way. Ogun, this is now not the comeback now, okay? I'm never going to say this again. This isn't Ogun now re-rising and from the ashes and all, whatever fucking hyperbole you want to call it. This isn't that now. This is now, this is now Ogun and the next album and the next fucking thing. We're not doing that. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, they're back, you know, or the return of. No. We've always had now. That's it. When you look on a streaming service, there'll just be a list of the albums, and that's it. There won't be the break in between is meaningless, right? And this meaningless now. We've done that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, if we needed any more, like, you know, reassurance that we are back, it just being in every single live show that we played and the insane response of the city of Liverpool to us. Old and new friends it might be added as well. Like, you know, it's not just like the old fan crew that's turning up. There's a lot of new fans coming in. The scene's absolutely thriving in the city at the minute. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's the scene. Well, the city itself is doing well. The scene is doing well. Inside the metal scene, there's this wonderful wellspring of thrash metal now. You know, it's like this. It's a scene within the scenes now, which is the fucking real success of any kind of musical base. You know, is that now that there's a, like, we can talk about genres within metal in our scene now, and you guys are, you know, there's a handful of bands now are that royalty. Are those bands leading that charge? You know what I mean? You couldn't be a better time to bring out this album. There just couldn't be for you guys and the scene, you know, currently where it's at.
Absolutely. It's just, you know, Devil's Henchmen are doing really good for themselves. Reaper, you know, Autopsia. There's plenty of bands out there in the thrash genre, as you say. There's an upcoming one called Chemical. I was speaking to their like front man at our last show and the Evil show, and they're in the midst of recording stuff. So it's not only the old guys again. I'm sure, you know, Devil's Henchmen will laugh at me saying that they're the old guys, but it just feels like they've been around forever, even though they're only like, you know,
I said 20. That to Joe. Joe's like, I think Joe's about 7 years old. I'm not sure. I'll have to check his. And I was like, you're influencing another generation. He's like, well, fucking haven't you got out of this generation? It's like, but that's what happens. That's that Evil show. Fucking hell. That was like front to back ridiculous.
Just amazing.
To back ridiculous. It's like, you know, if you'd walked in and never seen any of those bands, you'd have been like, there's a fucking scorching hot scene going on at the moment. And you guys opened, and I had a really interesting conversation, ladies and gentlemen, with Andy about this. Andy, we were talking about being the openers on a bill like that, which is just fucking stacked. And Andy was like, fuck, we don't care. We're opening. That's fucking a big responsibility. And that, we'll take no prisoners. And that's the attitude that these bands, Reaper and the Henchmen and stuff that we're talking about, are interchangeable with each other. I could say to you tonight, this is the lineup. Tomorrow night, this is the lineup, and switch those bands around, and they've all got that set, and no one would say shit, and everybody would fucking knock it out the park. That's a death of ego, that, which is really powerful, I think. You know, we've all realised that it isn't just about the individual bands, that together as a scene, we can survive and be way stronger than the single bands within it.
Yeah, agreed, 100%. You know, we've made really good mates with a lot of bands since we've come back, and obviously we continue to try and do that. There's plenty of good stuff out there that we just want to link in with and get going with. You know, rest of 2024 is obviously a big year for us, and then 2025, who knows, you know, where we're going to go with this, like.
It's a huge year for you guys. I mean, there's some shows coming up. We'll get into that now. But, you know, we can't bury the lead here. I was sent a copy of your new album. And I'll spill some tea off pod. I did say, you know, thank God it's fucking dead good, because I'm in banging trouble. If I spot that there's this fucking great scene of great bands happening, and then the album's just shit. I've got nowhere to go there, because they'd be like, what the fuck? Coop doesn't know what he's talking about. Thank God. When I knew it was good from the first song, but I'd heard that before. So it was the deeper cuts, and we'll get into them, that I think pushed me over. Can you listen back to the album now a little bit, kind of, and take it all in? Or are you still kind of in that producing, it's finished mode?
So for me personally, I couldn't sit and listen to it for a while, because we'd listened to it that much.
Yeah.
But now I can actually just take it for what it is and sit back and enjoy it and be proud of what we've produced.
Yeah.
There's still obviously little bits that click out to me that I'm going to be like, oh, but you know, I don't think anyone's really going to hear them. And if they do, fair play, it's a sharp ear. But yeah, no, I'm really proud of what us and the lads have put together. Obviously, Lou doesn't feature on this one, but the next one, he's going to be taking the helm on that as well straight away. You know, and there is new music in the works at the moment. Obviously, you probably heard from our live shows that we've got MAD. That's a brand new track that obviously doesn't feature on the upcoming album. And there is other ideas and riffs that we will be getting round to working on, amongst other things that we've got, you know, in our back pocket.
Yeah, it's the well, that's the sign of a healthy band, right? You know, you produce an album, a full album, rather than do singles and that type of thing. You produce a full album, and front to back, there's no fillers in this. I know these songs have been clearly put together, you know, very carefully. And then you're writing new music as well. That's what you fucking want. That's a healthy band, right? That's a good dynamic to have.
You know, bringing like members of the band in, like Lewis and Neil and Danny, they've all got like really, you know, good opinions towards new songs and stuff. And I just think it's going to work really, really well once we get down to doing that. And I don't know what your thoughts are on that, Lou, as well.
Yeah, it's just exciting. Like, obviously, to, you know, on the kind of path that we're on at the moment with regards to getting with this album and its release. It's been exciting, but like also the idea of, you know, being creative together as well, like that we are doing and is yet to come as well. It's fun time.
It's sometimes, you know, I mean, it's frowned upon sometimes, if we can be really honest, when band members change round and leave bands and all that time. It's sometimes frowned upon. But I put it to you guys that, you know, some of the best music has happened in bands when that exact thing has happened. When someone switched out, they brought in a guitar player or they brought in, you know, even a new vocalist. And sometimes that band's done its best work, or at least it's gone in a different direction that's give that band new life. You know, and I don't think it ever should be frowned upon whenever this band changes or your people join. I mean, let's not forget, you know, Neil isn't an original member, but he's fucking now crucial to the sound of things, you know. So it adds another colour, just something else to play with, something, another route you can possibly travel down. Once again, just exciting, you know, just a more interesting, you know, another colour to play with.
Yeah, of course. You know, it's great getting new members in. They're really talented, you know, as well, and just excel and bring everything forward. I had a big ask of Lou in his first official show with us to do some backing vocals to a cover of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles theme. you know, obviously that's not something that I would think he would expect to be asked to do. But I did say to the lads, you know, the next time we play Outpost, we're going to learn the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles theme tune, and we're absolutely going to smash it out the park. but obviously, with getting Lou in, Joe used to do backing with us, you know, it was kind of like, how do you feel about this? And Lou absolutely stepped up and is smashing it. So credit to him there. You know, that's just another dynamic that some people do take for granted, I guess. But singing and playing along, it's not something that comes naturally to everybody, and it is a talent in itself to do that. I've had many jokes about it with Joe from Devil's Henchmen about riffs and singing over riffs, and how I sat there, funnily enough, in the Fearless for hours, you know, trying to get me vocals really comfortable with that for the times when we do play it live along that like really hard hitting riff that's like slightly different time into the vocals. But yeah, it's just an artwork in itself, and it's good that I'm working with all these really super talented musicians, you know.
Lou, we've been talking wax and lyrical about you for so long, mate. You know,
oh no, it's all very, very nice, of course. What I was going to say is just to touch on like the kind of changing of members. Like, I guess one popular example would be like Megadeth. Like, obviously they go through a number of members for a number of different reasons, and you know, subjective, like each album, whatever have you, but you know, they are amazing and where they are for good reason, and I think a very good example of a band that can change it up quite regularly or semi-regularly still just keep it going and smash it. Yeah,
it's because all the people involved in the process care. That's all you want. They care about producing great music under that banner. Look at the biggest examples. AC/DC lose Bon Scott. He's irreplaceable. They bring in Brian Johnson and they do arguably their best work, certainly the most commercially successful work. You know, it's like Metallica lose, you know, Cliff. And arguably, it's certainly commercially the most successful stuff, because it all just hangs under the banner about you've just got to give a fuck about what you're doing. You know, it's, you've just got to care about the music that you're putting and then make sure it fits under that, the umbrella that you're working with. You know, it's like, you know, Neil isn't like, you know, what I would say a typical thrash metal guitar player. I wouldn't say that that's his thing. He's a rock player, but I wouldn't necessarily play a thrash thing. So when he plays, and certainly on this album, when he gets to open up, it's slightly got a different style to it. It's got a different edge to it that he brings, but it works underneath that. And that's the real game here, is put your own personality, but keeping it within the same realm. So there's a comfortability to it, but also it's like, oh, this is a difference. This is interesting. You know, think about when Marty joined Megadeth and he brought in all these kind of interesting scales and stuff, exotic scales that people weren't using. And he was bringing all this in, and it completely fucking changed him. Think about when Hammett come in after Mustaine left. He brought this European style into Metallica. So that's it. I often compared Neil was like fucking when Whitesnake brought Steve Vai in. The same thing when you guys brought Neil in. He was bringing fucking the Vai of the Northwest in. So I don't know what I should compare you to, Luke, yet. I don't know. I don't know. We'll leave it open. What you do needs to do, ladies and gentlemen, see a lot of this live now. Because that's when it really comes into play. Chemistry, ladies and gentlemen, cannot be faked. It's the only thing. You get it. You found out straight away. And when I was watching Lewis with the guys, even in the early first shows, it was very obvious. You can tell when a member doesn't belong there. He instantly did. I said it to him at the end of the show. Instantly, that's it. Let's move on now. So that's the last time we're going to say that as well. We're going to talk about Lou being a new guy. That's to bed. Let's get rid of that. All that shit. This is going to be a clearing house episode, ladies and gentlemen, where I'm going to fucking clear house of all that bullshit because it's not relevant anymore, and let's move on. I mean, we should talk about the album. We've got an album and a single. Well, we've got a single launch show and an album. Is there going to be an album launch show? I assume so.
There is going to be an album release show, but, right. You know, we're just basically for now, we're saying that is going to be in autumn of this year.
Yeah,
we can confirm the venue, which is District. So that's going to be really sick. Nice. We're not going to confirm the bands great that are playing at this moment in time. We're going to basically, you know, keep that under wraps for a little while, but it's going to be epic. You don't really want to miss this one. Like, and, you know, you wouldn't expect a band to say anything less, you know, the whole cliches, but this is going to be a really good night. And, you know, I met up with the owner, Eric, of District. He's a really, you know, legend, like, kind of guy. He's been in the scene for, like, 20-odd years. Lending that space to the old picket as well, or renting it out, you know, making that space available for live music. It's such a cool venue that we've got in the city. It's a little bit out the way, you know, as people who would have travelled down have found out, but so is the Baltic Triangle and places like that, and it doesn't stop that place getting packed out. So
you know what? Like, someone said that to me, and I was very nice in my response, but I don't think I'm going to be very nice now. They were like, oh yeah, it's District. It's a bit of away from the city centre, isn't it? And blah blah blah. And I was like, oh okay, I get it. And you know what? Fuck off. Right? It's not. It's like a 10-minute walk. And just so you know, ladies and gentlemen, you walk past two famous fast food places on the way. So here's how you fucking do it. I'll just work this out for you. You get off, at fucking James Street. You walk through. There's plenty of shops to go on the way. There's a fucking boozer on the way, for crying out loud. Then there's two fucking places to eat. You eat there. You already had a couple of beers. You eat there. And then you go to dinner. Let's say that you fucked that up and you've still got to come from work and you fucked that up. On the way back, what's better than fast food after you've listened to metal? There's nothing better, it just doesn't work. You know what I mean? You're half cut, you stumble into there, you get some fast food. That 10-minute walk will last about 30 seconds in your mind. It's fucking there. If you're willing to go to it, it's fucking... I don't want to hear any excuses about the District from fans now. Just fucking get there. It's a great venue. The sound system in there is fucking biblical. That Conan show, the fucking low end, and it was controlled as well, really well handled. All the way across the venue, front to back, is fucking ridiculous. In the summer, and that place is just going to be fucking amazing with the beer garden. It's an amazing venue, and I'm so glad they're starting to do shit there again.
Yeah, 110%. Really happy with that venue that we've chose that for the release. But yeah, as I say, in terms of what else we can give you, not much, unfortunately, at the minute.
That's keeping you, the album in full? Do you think you play the album in full?
Do you think we'll play the album in full?
Well, now you fucking have to, don't you? Right back at you. Now you have to. You have to, because it does flow. I'll tell you that the one thing is that, you know, sometimes albums are a bit kind of mismatchy. They don't kind of flow so well because, especially near the end, it tends to be just get all the songs on. But this album really flows, and I think it probably will lend itself to playing it in full. You kind of have to, aren't you?
A little bit, a little bit of thought to go into the track order, as a result of that. And I'm really glad that you picked up on the fact that it does seem to flow quite nicely as well. I think the tracks have been arranged quite cool and probably in the best way that they could have been for this album.
Like they say, it's been curated. Like, there's a couple of songs I'm trying to think. I think it's Before Fuck Progression. That it just feels like, not in a bad way, the same song. It's like it's so consistent in its movements and how it's put across. And I was like, oh shit, we're this next riff. Because, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, there's no more riffs left because Hogan have got them all on this record. So that's the end of music, unfortunately. So just every single riff is fucking, it's because Neil the fucking bastard has just got them, man. I was listening, one of the best songs is The Fearless, ladies and gentlemen. Well, it is the best song. It's the best song we've wrote at the end. So you can stop that as well. I've also ended music and ended Hogan because you can't write anything better than The Fearless now, that's it. So let's say about that. This will be the last album. But it's just riff-a-rama, endless stuff, you know, endless stuff. And that's why the album, I think, flows so well, because you're just like, Jesus Christ, this is peaking almost every song. So we'll put that to the side. We'll do maybe, you know, maybe a track by track on another show, and certainly we'll hype up that other show. But we have got a show on the 7th of June, which is the single launch show at everybody's favourite venue, The Outpost. This show, this so far will be, after the shows we've had, this is the next big one I'm looking forward to. This is going to be special, ladies and gentlemen. So, naturally, the Devil's Henchmen are playing because it's a fucking metal show and their position is required. But also, you bring in Grind Horizon. And I fucking love them. I've loved them for a long time. I've known the lads for a long time. They do a song called 86 that is the song that Pantera never did. It's fucking brilliant. And the fact that you had, the minute I saw them on the bill, I messaged them and I was like, I am fucking overjoyed that they are on this bill. This is going to sell out this. I don't think we're fucking, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to try and sell tickets on this one. This is going to sell out, right?
I think at the minute we're just shy of 60% of tickets sold, which is insane for, you know, like 11 days, 12 days of promo.
Ridiculous. This will be, because it's like, you get to see Grind Horizon, and I could talk about them forever. They're fantastic, and everybody needs to check them out. And they've been around a long time. And then you two guys, now, both of you, is probably the peak of your powers. I don't think I'm going to be able to see you guys too often in a venue sub 150, sub 200 anymore. I don't think it's going to be possible. And ladies and gentlemen, that's why you need to see him, because you're going to be... Don't be that fucking guy, right, that's like, I didn't see... Do you remember when fucking Hogan played The Outpost and only fitted fucking 70-odd people in there? And you're like, yeah, I couldn't get tickets. Well, now they're playing fucking supporting Metallica in the fucking Echo, and it's a £100 a ticket, you dickhead. You know, don't be that. Come now. Enjoy it now while you can. You know what I mean? This is a big show, this, isn't it?
It is. It is, absolutely.
7th of June, it seems like it'll be here fucking tomorrow, won't it? It'll be here tomorrow.
We do have one before then as well, you know, we're over there, your side of the water.
So this is at Molly's, which has got a great fucking... There's some shows being started to put up on there. Absolence played there. We did a metal on Merseyside, a Metal to the Masses show there as well, because we knew it was a great venue. This is Molly's Chambers in Birkenhead. So if you are listening and you're on the other side of the water, this is the next time you're going to be able to see these guys, as well as they're playing. It's the Apollyon Rising's EP launch. And they're another great band. They're coming on the show in the next couple of days. We're going to talk a little bit about them, because I haven't seen them in some time, and their new shit's absolutely fucking outrageous. So it's... it'll be nice to see them. But it's the other side of the water, ladies and gentlemen, because when I say there's no scene in Liverpool, really, I mean there's no scene in the Northwest. We include this stuff over here. You played over here before then?
We have. 16 years ago was the last appearance. It was actually 2008 in a bar called the Hotel California. It's now just the shadow of its former self on that roundabout, sadly. Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't come to this show, what Andy's saying is you're going to have to wait 16 years to go again. So you fucking best get your fucking ticket now. But it's a great venue, right? That sound stage and it is fucking set up for metal, right?
Agreed.
And I think, I don't see how people are going to be able to miss this one because Exhumation are playing. And, that's a headlining band. Exhumation are a headlining band now. They've got all the songs and they're fucking brilliant and they're not headlining. They're happy to just go, listen, we're just going to come and smash it for the other guys. I fucking love that.
Super strong lineup on a lot of our shows coming up, to be honest. And it's just, it's just a real like symbol of how good everything is doing and a sign of how good everything is doing in the city at the minute. You know, when you look at that, as you say, it's interchangeable again. This one is all about Apollyon Rising and their EP launch, you know, Prepare for War, which sounds epic, really. The music video is cool and everything. As you say, Exhumation, spot on. They could easily take the headline slot and potentially say the same about us as well. It's just super strong lineup, all for a fiver, less than the cost of a pint in most bars nowadays. But yeah, as you say, it's going to be epic. First time in 16 years in the world as well. It's mad. It's really going to be insane. Be a good night.
It's all positive though. It's all so of the album, I was saying about, I think it's about, I'd say about 40-50% I've heard, because you've been playing stuff like that, it's all progression and stuff. I've heard all that, some of them, but there's obviously some cuts on this album that I haven't heard live. So are we going to start to hear these sort of make their way into the set then now? I imagine so.
Yeah, I mean, Lewis obviously has learned a lot of our set already, covering a vast number of things, but there are some tracks there that we haven't got round to playing live just yet. It's always good to have that. And I think everyone would enjoy hearing some new cuts or deep cuts, as you say. So yeah, we'll look into it. But yeah, for now, we'll just keep it a surprise and see what happens at some of the shows. But yeah, definitely going to be a good one.
Like I said before, they do something different, ladies and gentlemen. They can do something different. They put the set list up before the show, which I'm like, that's a proper gangster move, that, because A, it's showing you have faith in the material because you're like, we're playing this song, so you better fucking know it. But also, it's like you put yourself out there. It's like this. We stand on our songs. That's what that says. I don't know. There's no one else does that. And I think it's a real. What you want to do, if I can give any advice, is leave one, which is just question marks, and just be like, yeah. But this one, we ain't telling you what it is. Like, I was surprised by the Turtles thing. Obviously, I didn't see that coming. I'd spent most of that set laughing my ass off, because it was ridiculously heavy and good. And then I get the Turtle song. So it was like, I spent it most of the time laughing. That's what me and Ian do, ladies and gentlemen, when we're watching these bands and you're like, what are you doing? You're not in the pit crew because you're too old. You know, what are you doing at the back of the room? And I am, for the most part, laughing my ass off because I'm like, this is ridiculous that I get to see this for sometimes £5, £6, £7. It's fucking ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So in terms of kind of, we'll talk about the album later when it comes to coming out. So we know about the shows now. What's your plans kind of further afield then in the next sort of 2-3-4 months then in terms of live playing and what you've got planned?
You want to roll with this one, Lou?
So after the single release show, are we talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we've got a couple of other shows, one later on in June as well, in Northwich. Is it the Salty Dog?
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Nicky Clifford.
Clifford's country, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then later on in the year, we're at Thrash Chester in November.
Great, Bill. Great lineup. That's such a good show. I adore it. It's I'm so jealous that we have yet to have that, and I do say yes.
Yeah, I think the fact that it's in Rebellion as well, like the sound in there is like second to none, I think. Yeah.
That'll be the first time that Hogan have actually played in Manchester as well. Unless we manage to get something under the, you know, lined up before then. So shout out to the Manchester promoters. But yeah, you know, we absolutely want to get involved there in that scene as well, which is also really thriving. As I say, the Bennetts are absolutely smashing it over there, and there's 100%. Little promotions as well. Bloody Eagle, I think. There's a lot of promoters working in tandem, which shows that it's possible to do. Unlike Lewis, have never played Rebellion either, so that would be a sick one.
I've seen some fucking... I seen Monster Magnet there, and it was fucking... It changed my religious beliefs. It was fucking brilliant. It was just... It's because it's like the crowd's almost on top of you. It's very difficult to have security there. It's all fucking super enclosed. Like, you know, even when you go in the toilet, it's like this fucking... It's like fucking... What did he call it? You're spelunking where you're in cracks and a fucking... It's like that, but it all adds to it. It's like when it's fucking hot in there, it's the end of the world as well. Where the sound desk is and the light lamp and that, it's like the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon. It's fucking tiny, and you're like trying to do the fucking lights with Chewbacca next year. It's fucking outrageous, but it's a great venue. It's a great venue, and that's the thing as well, ladies and gentlemen. You hear us dropping the names of these promoters. These aren't Northwest promoters. In so much as Liverpool and that. These are guys from Manchester because we love them too. This whole thing of like there's a rivalry. We're putting it all to bed. That's another thing. Put that away. We're moving on. There's none of that now. What the Bennetts are doing and fucking, you know, Uncle Rob's doing in Grand Central are fucking amazing things. The common denominator of which is just good music. That's all they care about. That's all I care about. And doing put on a good show for the people that are paying their money. And it's paying dividends now. All the bad shit that used to happen that, you know, we could all remember of promoters fucking people over, venues fucking people over, bands fucking people over, all these people fucking each other over. We're done with that now. We're all fucking each other at Ace. You know what I mean? And you get people like Nicky talking about these things, you know, and putting extreme metal on the radio and Rob bringing metal back and great music back to Grand Central. And the Bennetts are doing fucking, it seems like a show every fucking 10 minutes. That's amazing. You know, Lil, there's promotions, the stuff that she's doing, taking all these new bands and giving them a platform. It's fucking, it's exciting. I didn't see any of that as being like a rivalry. I see it all as being exciting.
107%. It's just an ever-growing community, isn't it, where everyone's kind of, you know, sharing, like, just, like, shows and whatever have you, just, like, how to articulate it? Like, there is just that sense of community where everyone is in it together, and no matter where you're from or whatever label you want to throw at it, it's, like, everyone's just in it together.
And that's it. And that's always how it should be. It wasn't always like that. And I think I can say that, you know, we all can remember a time when it wasn't like that. It was very insidious. It was very kind of backbiting. There was loads of politics. And we realized, I think, to this new wave that we're kind of entering now, that just wasn't going to work. It just wasn't going to work for us. That, you know, fucking another band over, it just wasn't going to work. It doesn't give you... It doesn't give the scene any longevity, and we realised very quickly that the minute that the scene starts to do well, it works for everybody, right? It becomes a thing where all the ships on a high tide get raised. You know, it has to be, and you must be seeing that now. You know, in the shows that you've been playing and the shows you've been going into, Lou, and the shows I've been seeing, it's tangible. You can feel that. You can see that.
Yeah. Truly, like, just like a wide range of shows that you can go to, like you say, and again that sense of community, and it's this vibrant atmosphere that seems to be just emanating from, like, no matter where you go, really, especially, you know, within these shows, like whether it's online on social media as well, just it's just really cool. Like you said, it wasn't so much quite some time ago, and it was pretty insular in a way, I'd probably say. But everyone's just, yeah, it's a great time right now.
Yeah. One of the things
venues
that happens...
have got a lot to say about that as well, you know, the relationship with the venues as well. We often probably don't touch upon them, but, you know, the fact that we've, you know, still got places like the Zanzibar still open from new owners who took over, you know, venues that aren't often associated with stuff like metal. So, like, you know, downstairs in Hebe's when Devil's Henchmen and ourselves and Reclaiming Junters, you know, sold out that for the Henchmen album launch, other venues taking risks on big metal nights and realizing that they can actually, you know, support this as part of this scene is hopefully going to wake a few more people up. But like to the old firm that have stood strong and supported us fully, you know, we're made up for them venues and we're happy that they exist and long may they continue. You know, we don't need another Jimmy's in the city, unfortunately, like, you know, that kind of thing happening. Yeah. But it, as you say, the scene does seem to be thriving at the minute. The locals are really supporting it, which is amazing. So thank you to everyone that's doing that as well. And hopefully it's inspiring a few people to go out and do their own thing as well. And that will, you know, also once again get supported in the scene, hopefully.
Yeah, I think, you know, that is happening. I get sent at least maybe 4 or 5 times a day, many times a week, a new band from this area with a track or 1 or 2 tracks that they want me to hear, and I've never heard of them. And it's like, that's a real win, that. That's a real win. You know, and the thing you say about promoters and venues, I think is so true, is that if you want to be a successful band, ladies and gentlemen, you do have to learn how to work with people and work with promoters, not be a dickhead. And then if they're not a dickhead and no one's a dickhead, actually great things can happen. And you can really, you know, really enjoy. And a lot of stuff comes unsaid then, because you're just like, okay, we'll do it at this particular venue. And you already know, you don't have to do any homework. You already know that that's great. And you know it's going to work out. The biggest thing that happens, though, ladies and gentlemen, is that people not familiar with the scene from the outside and touring bands see that too. And that starts becoming something that they start to become aware of. You know, we've seen it already with Carcass, and Obituary coming to the venues that normally they wouldn't have played, you know, selling them out, getting a really good reaction, in some cases the best reaction of their particular tour. And you know that someone is putting that in the back pocket and go, we're going to go here again. If you see two people in the street fighting, you're less likely to go up to them and ask something like the directions to the fucking pub or something. You're not going to ask that. But if those two people are sitting there having a nice chat, laughing, you know what I mean, laughing and joking, you're probably more than likely going to go up to them and ask them which the way to the fucking Swan. Yeah? That's the same with the scene. If bands work with promoters and work with venues and bands see that, everything becomes easier and people become more inclined to put you on a tour cycle. And we're seeing that. We're already seeing that. Exhumation, Crepitation, all these people supporting big bands that are coming through now. You know, you get the likes of Tailgun and out who are off and supporting Udo and all great bands. And I consider them one of our guys, you know, because one of the guys is a huge Evertonian, so he's one of our guys. And it's like you start to see that as a touring cycle booker, you will start to see that. Takes time, but you do start to see that. And you'll have guys, you will be supporting a major thrash band by the end of this year, either booked in there in a large scale show. The end. You've already supported big ones. I can see those bigger, almost arenas, large scale academy ones. It's coming. The end, because of the quality of the music, the quality of your performance, the quality of the professionality, but above all else, like I say, the relationships that you have and how you deal with people in the business. It is the single most important thing in the business. Single.
Agreed. Yeah, it is massively important. I was speaking to a member of Evile about this as well, like, you know, on the scene when they came into town and they couldn't really, you know, believe that this Thursday night show, and all credited to Liam and Phase 9, you know, for whacking this, you know, amazing show together and selling it out. And obviously the people of Liverpool and surrounding areas for turning up, supporting all the bands by buying merch and just basically given a great night for all, but they were like, you know, we are going to speak to our booking agent and we probably won't miss this one out on the next, because, you know, let's not forget, this was like Liverpool was tagged on just before the Irish show, which makes sense. You know, you get the plane from Liverpool to Ireland, but it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for Liam and inquiring about it. You know, I'm pretty sure we weren't on the radar, and that's what we absolutely need to do, is try and get the City right back there and say, listen, you can play Manchester and you can play Liverpool. You know, it's 30 miles apart. Just maybe don't do it, you know, night after night. You know, maybe hit Manchester earlier on. And as I say, if you're going over to Ireland, hit Liverpool towards the end when you're going over
I was talking to a booker and they agreed. And I was like, the obvious booking is to fly in to Manchester from wherever you're flying in for, be it the States or whatever it may be. Play Manchester next night or whatever, then do your tour around UK, and when you're heading back to go to Ireland, you pass by us. It just makes so much sense, you know what I mean? It's so easy to do that, and I know you'll start to see that. I think you will start to see that. I know the cuts kind of like sort of B level and slightly under arena shows are starting to get booked up now. You're going to start to see that, and that's, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, you wonder what you can do to help your scene. Well, if you're in a band, we've kind of already outlined that, you know, you've got to be a good guy or girl, you've got to be a good person. But, you know, as a fan, you've got to go to these shows. You know, and I don't want to fan or gig shame people and say, oh, you should go to shows and all that. But the truth of the matter is this is nothing without people buying tickets to go to a show. It has to be a proof of life. It has to be a proof of concept, right? It has to be that it's something that exists only with someone goes to see it. You know, if someone pays a ticket to go and see it, you know, the backdoor way of seeing your favorite band play in an arena or a big academy show is to go to see the bands that are small and independent. That's the truth of it, you know. We've seen that. We've seen those bands start to switch it up and pick bands from the local area to support them, and that's the connecting tissue, right?
Yeah, absolutely. 100% agree again. You talk a lot of sense, Coop. You know, you should have your own podcast talking about metal.
Yeah, I should probably do something good that way. So now, I mean, I'll wrap it up, because, you know, I know you guys are busy. There's the shows to be, you know, prepared for and albums to be talked about, launches. But this must feel now like the best time to be an Ogun for both of you, yeah? This is the best time, right?
Go for it, Lou. What do you think, mate?
Yeah, no, of course. Absolutely. No, it's great. Like I said before at the beginning, like, again, the guys have been, like, amazing in making it seamless. And, you know, obviously the history of the band is there to see and will be there to listen to in great detail as well soon. And it's just, yeah, like, to be able to be a part of this band, given all that, is quite, you know, the privilege. And, you know, playing shows with the likes of these guys and just hanging around, it's great. Yeah, there's no other way to say it other than it's great.
See, Andy's the epitome, Lou. Andy's the epitome of this. I say that a band is the heavier they are and the more aggressive they are, the nicer the front person is. And Andy is the personification of this, ladies and gentlemen. This album is fucking will take faces off at 30 paces. It's fucking ridiculous. It is more heavy than your nan's fucking kettle. Yeah? It's formed with more metal than you can handle. And that only comes back because Andy leaves it all on stage and leaves it all on the tracks. These are super nice guys. I tell them all the time. I can't wait to have you guys on again, because you're kind of ours. You're our scenes. Like, so you belong to us almost. So when you're successful, we're always successful. If, you know, it's like a football analogy. Like, you know, you've ever been a football game, ladies and gentlemen, and there's a guy next to you shouting to the other guy to pass the ball and do certain things, or any sporting events, and that guy on the field can't hear him. He can't hear you. Why the fuck are you shouting to pass? He can't hear you. They can't hear when I shout fucking A in the middle of a throng of people. They can't hear it. But together, when we all cheer, we all kind of win. And that's what Hogan are. Hogan are they're ours. So when these guys are successful, ladies and gentlemen, and you'll hear the album, you'll hear what success sounds like, we get to share in that. I'm very grateful that I can call these guys my friends, and I'm very grateful to hear the album. Trouble is now I have to sit on this until they release the album, and I'm fucking like biting my nails and stuff. I want to play it to people and fucking leak it and all that other bad stuff I do. But then Andy would beat me to death, so I can't do that. Ladies and gentlemen, I promise to have Hogan back on when we go through World of Hate with a fine tooth comb as it deserves. But for now, guys, you know what I mean? Thanks for coming on the show. We will speak again. I will be at all of these shows. Tickets bought, done, dusted, away. It's all done. I will be at these shows, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, stand next. I will say this as my final word. Stand next to me during any of these shows and tell me Hogan on the next thing that people need to watch and keep going. Tell me that without laughing. If you can tell me that with a straight face, yeah, I will believe you. But I'm here to tell you now, you won't be able to tell me that. You'll see what I'm talking about. The only way you're going to see that is seeing them live. I'll put links on the show and all the social medias. But lads, Ace, just great to have you on the show. And we will have you on again.
We're proud to say that we belong to the city of Liverpool as well, obviously, as you've now so gracefully let us know. And yeah, it's been a pleasure, mate. You'll be able to speak about one of them tracks, obviously, after June 7th, because that will be released on all platforms, which is obviously Welcome to Brutality.
Yeah.
So that's the single release, as you know. But yeah, you're going to have to sit on the other 11 for a little bit.
Ladies and gentlemen, they're already the cheeky bastards are already getting classics in the set. Who does that? Where it's like, well, if that's not in the set, it's like seeing Metallica and not hearing fucking Fade to Black or fucking something like that. It's like, how can you have already established classics, cheeky bastards? But they have. And that's Welcome to Brutality. We've heard it, haven't we, ladies and gentlemen? We've heard this song before. Now you get to hear it often and regular. When the single comes out, you get to press the button to repeatedly listen to that song. What a fucking treat that is. It's fucking ace. And it's nice to hear it recorded now, because I've only ever heard it live. You know, I've only ever heard that. So it's going to be nice to hear that as a single. And it's a really good and indicative sound of what the album is as well. Although, I probably can't leave it to say, but Feel, that took me by surprise. There you go. Where did that come from? And that was fucking interesting. Yeah, we'll get into that later. I'll just tease it for the next show. You know,
Mella played an absolute blinder on that for the solo, although I did give him a lot of shit about it sounding kind of Jules Holland-esque in parts, which he'll laugh about today, but absolutely he's nailed that. And I think that is going to be a track that will surprise a lot of people once this album's out. And you know, it doesn't really fall in line with the rest of our stuff, but it's not a million miles away from everything else. There's still really heavy parts. There's still little parts of guitar harmonies that are in there. And it's good.
Nice. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, it's always nice to speak to the lads in Hogan. And we're going to get them on again. Of course, we're going to get them on again. And I will see you lads at the show, if not before. I suggest, ladies and gentlemen, you look to do the same. All these tickets, I think every show, if you book a ticket for it now, it's less than £20 or something like that. It's fucking stupid. It's stupid. It's actually ridiculous. The ridiculous Hogan, ladies and gentlemen. You can get to see Liverpool's thrash metal zone. More metal than your nan's kettle. Lads and Hogan, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us, mate. Like, it's been a pleasure, genuinely. So thank you.
Nice.
Always is, Coop. Take care of yourself, mate. We'll see you at the show.
The wonderful Hogan there, and Andy stealing my catchphrase. catchphrases. What a fucking dick I am. Good catchphrases. We had to think about sign-offs and stuff and, you know, good afternoon, good evening, good metal, and, you know, there is no scene in Liverpool. What a ridiculous state of affairs that you have, like, catchphrases and stuff. But it's all in good fun. It's all kind of, you know, it's something that I kind of... Yeah, people shout that at a show now. They shout, you know, there's no scene in Liverpool. It's like, that's cool. I get that. But Hogan, wonderful. Just, you know, the album's fucking great. It's really, really strong. And like I said in the show, thank God it is, because otherwise it would have been fucking, you know, a nightmare. Me, you know, saying that there's all this great metal going on and then these albums aren't very good, but they're, thankfully, they're amazing. And Andy's a wonderful human being. Thanks for coming on the show. And, you know, he listens to the show and feeds and tells me when he likes it, when he doesn't like it. And, you know, and he comes to every show. He really does. He comes to every show. I see him a day. He's truly supporting the scene. And Lewis and all the lads in Hogan, they are truly doing the work. And that is the example of a lot of bands are doing the scene. The scene isn't just me spouting catchphrases and doing silly videos to try and get you to come to a show. It's about promoters and bands putting the fucking hard work in to make these shows happen. That's how a scene happens, and it's constant, and you have to keep doing it. It's hard fucking work. You leave it for a while, and then it'll go backwards again, and you can't do that. So you've got to keep working, and Hogan 100% are just one of those bands that are just completely doing that, putting the work in. It's really nice to see that come back. They have that show coming up on the 5th this weekend with Apollo and Rise, and that's just going to be fucking biblical there. And I really do think that this show on the 7th of June and at the Outpost, the single launch show with the Devil's Henchmen and Grind Horizon as well, I really think that that's just going to be a fucking... that's going to be one of those shows. There's been a couple of these shows recently now that have really stood out as being a really big... The scene's trying to do to put a highlight on it. And I think that's going to be a very special show. And I think the album launch, and they've got some shows as well in Northwich, up at Nicky's Way, which are also going to be... They're playing all over now, and it's nice that they are, because they're really good representatives of what we're seeing, really good sort of advocates of what we're trying to do within the scene. I hope you enjoyed that show. I hope you got something from it. If you're in a band that is just starting out, if you're a band that's existing, a band that's kind of give up and want to come back to it, and that's the thing, I hope you got something from that journey. It's interesting to watch their journey. There's a couple of bands like that who are doing great work and on this wonderful journey, and I wanted to continue to document that where I can and talk to these bands about the experiences they have. And I hope you enjoy it. I hope you get something from it. If you laugh, if you go, oh, that's right, if it spares you on to do better, if you think, what a fucking load of nonsense this fucking podcast is, I'll start my own, you go and do that too. As always, thank you for listening, and I'll see you at the show.